They say it's not about the destination, but the journey. And while every story has a beginning, we're here to talk about the end. Hey, everybody. It is Podcast Rob.
With James Hatton.
And it is time for another episode of The End.
Spooky edition.
Yeah, this is our Halloween edition. So there were kind of a number of horror-themed TV shows that I was thinking of doing, but this one...
This is your call. This one,
yeah, it's kind of a guilty pleasure of mine. It's kind of near and dear, embarrassingly, to me, because when it came out, we were kind of, me and friends of mine were hip deep in playing this.
Right.
So this is Kindred the Embraced.
Blah.
Little TV show that came from Spelling Studios. Yes, 90210 Spelling.
The liver spotted hand of Aaron Spelling.
Yeah, and it seriously is like, you know, Near Dark meets Melrose Place, kind of.
Very much so. So just to jump a half a step back, I don't know whether I would just mention this with you or whether I mentioned it on air, but we have a Plex server, and on that there we have this one channel that is literally nothing but horror anthology shows. It's got Nightmare Cafe, it's got Outer Limits, it's got Twilight Zone, it's got Friday the 13th, it's got Nightmare on Elm Street, all of them. And it's just sort of, it's a random jukebox. Like, any one of those shows could have fit in this spot.
Sure.
And I've played Vampire. Like, I've played Vampire many a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never seen this. I knew it existed.
Yeah.
But I had never seen it.
Yeah, we were...
And now I can say quite confidently, now I have.
This was right around the time... I mean, we'd done the tabletop game and stuff, and this was right around the time a bunch of us in the South Jersey area were kind of, like I said, just getting hip deep into the live-action vampire aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
And not necessarily the whole... Like, for those of you who understand what I'm talking about, they had the whole... Like, you can play in actual places subtly using, like, you know, rock, paper, scissors kind of things and certain hand gestures and certain turns of phrase.
Oh, my God.
That was supposed to mimic the whole vampires living among regular humans and trying not to be discovered and outed kind of thing. And it just ended up turning into, hey, we're going to rent like a hall and we're just going to have like 30 of us and we're all just going to play vampire. And it's just so much easier that way.
Yeah, and not to knock on Mind's Eye Theater too hard. I've played a bit of it myself, but I've always found the hystericalness of bunch of more dudes than ladies, but there was always some ladies at Vamp LARPs, all like walking around in their full black lace leather jacket, ripped jeans, punk rock, and then, you know, I'm stronger than you. I'm more deft than you. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Yeah, exactly.
Just is such a funny
image.
Yeah,
and the weird, like, you know, like the whole aura perception thing. I have to touch my pinky to the corner of my eye and try not to look like Dr. Evil while I stare at you and quote these turns of phrase.
Or do mummy hands over your chest because you're invisible.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's not going to draw more attention to you. But this was a TV show based off of the White Wolf game. It ran from 1996 to 1996. It ran 8 episodes. So, like, I believe it went from April to late May. It was pretty much it, and then it was done.
But this is, like, this time period is... the big White Wolf moment.
Oh, yeah.
This is the spot where, like, White Wolf was a threat to Dungeons & Dragons, who had, like, a claw hold over role-playing games. It was the D&D killer. There was a professional wrestler named Gangrel. You know, this was a hot moment to be into modern urban fantasy role-playing games. Like, I don't think... I would wonder what the world and the landscape would be like in the way of, like, horror movies and vampire movies and werewolf movies if we hadn't had White Wolf. I don't think the underworld movies would even exist.
Yeah, probably not. I mean,
lichens.
They might, lichens. But they. I don't think they would exist in the form that they do. I think at some point that story would have still kind of been told.
Sure,
but not in the same way.
Because that was all that latex pleathery look. The listening to concrete blonde. It's a very specific type of vampire that was the.
Well, it was.
This is what the Morgoths did when they went home.
Yeah. Underworld, regardless of the fact, you know, that there were lichens and, you know, werewolves, whatever you want to call them, in there.
Right.
That was like, what did they do? Four movies? Five of those? Whatever they did?
Yeah, yeah.
That was like a five movie franchise based off of the first 3 minutes of the first Blade movie.
Sure. No,
like,
you're right.
When they're in that giant rave. Like, that's. That's what the modern vampire thing looks like. That modern rave scene is the 2000s version of Lost Boys.
Yes, 100%. I'm super with you.
But this was not that.
No, yeah, and like, that's exactly, I'm glad you picked up what I was putting down. That like, we're sort of painting a picture here of
we watched this every week. Me and Fact Check Manny and a bunch of our other friends and stuff. And we watched the first episode because we really wanted to like it. And of we course. Watched the next seven because we just couldn't believe how incredibly fucking wrong they got everything. Wrong being a relative term in finger quotes because they're basing it off of fantasy stuff. You know, we didn't want to be those people like, excuse me, they can't really do that. That's not. But we were that people. We were that people. Well, so when you've got every fucking vampire on the show can turn into a wolf except the Gangrel, we would go, what the fuck is that?
So. They don't explain it because I have never. No. This is the perspective of you've seen every episode. I've only seen the finale.
Yeah.
Is the main character of the show, I guess, Julian, he's the prince of the city. Is he a Ventru?
Yes.
Okay. They at least got that right because I was able to recognize he was a Ventru.
Yeah.
For those not in the know, there are different clans of vampires, and each one is sort of an archetype. The Ventru are the stuffy rules lawyers.
Yes, they're the power brokers. The Toreadors are the artsy, hedonistic types. The Tremere are the magic-y types. The Gangrel are like the street rat change into animal types. The Bruja are like the biker gang types. Pumped.
Punk rockers.
The Nosferatu are, you know, if you're familiar with the movie Nosferatu, they're the ugly sword dweller types. I don't even think they went into like Malkavian or anything like that because I don't think there was a Malkavian in the show. But they're like they're the lunatics. They're the
maybe second season.
Well, and
Toreador are the art lovers.
Yeah, like, we said that.
Oh, you did. All right.
Yeah, yeah.
So I went through and just to give this some perspective, I went into the 1996-1997 television lineup.
Okay.
Just skimming Fox here. You know, we have X-Files, obviously. You have Melrose Place. You have Beverly Hills 90210. Like, this show, Party of Five, this show feels like it should fit in with this stuff.
Sure.
Sliders, Millennium, the other two. There is a texture, and I'm guessing it has something to do with the clarity of the cameras. There is a texture to like mid-90s television, and all of those shows feel like it. Beverly Hills 902 and Melrose Place, even the syndicated ones, Highlander, Hercules. Well,
it looks like it was filmed on film, because it's got that kind of grainy.
Yeah, and there's just a gloss. There's a sort of filmy gloss.
But this is also 96, so I think this is like before the advent of high-definition television. So,
oh, yeah, these things are standard.
Yeah, this wasn't even like 720. This was, you know, crap.
And what's interesting is I think you might have hit the nail on the head. This is the best version of celluloid filming for television. Not movie filming, of course. But that might be what it is that that gloss that I'm thinking of that I see in these shows is that standard, that's the best standard ever gets because in the 2000s we start to jump to HD.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely.
Okay, that's an interesting tech sort of thing. But yeah, like this show has a very, very Beverly Hills 90210 Melrose Placey sort of thing.
Absolutely. I mean, it's all, it falls into the, I'm not going to say the trap, but it's a spelling vehicle. So, and of course it's TV. And of course, you know, the whole vampire thing is supposed to be, you know, power and seduction and everything else. So it's all the pretty people, even the Nosferatu. Like the only reason he's ugly is because he's bald and has big earlobes.
I was in my notes. Nosferatu, you know, not so ugly.
The Bruja clan, the dude who played Eddie through most of this, of the eight episodes before his character got whacked, was the ugliest motherfucker on the show. And he played a Bruja. Brian Thompson, if you look him up, you'll know who he is. And you're going to go, oh my God, that guy, the guy who looks like he got slashed on both cheeks with a big fucking knife.
Okay.
He's member of Bruja, you know, ugliest guy in the show, not playing the ugliest clan.
That was the other curiosity, because I'm a huge fan of Bruja. And again, they're the biker punks.
Yeah, not in this show.
Anti-establishment. Yeah, that's the best word for it. They are anti-establishment, and the first Bruja you see is wearing a suit, and they're talking about, like, corporate takeovers of the kingdom, yep. Of, like, the Primogen Council.
Yep.
Primogen Council, all that, that's all the vampire political works, for those who don't know. So I was immediately like, this ain't your mama's Bruja. What the hell's going on here? So am I to assume that this mostly was about the political struggle between these two clans and a bunch of other clans around the outside of it?
Yeah, well, it's... The basic gist of the show is there's a human police detective that has learned vampires exist, but don't understand that he's, like, surrounded by them in the city that they're in, San Francisco. There's a businessman that he thinks is just part of the mafia, who's actually the Prince of San Francisco. and
more like Vamp San Cisco.
Yeah, exactly.
Go ahead.
But they have a history because the cop dated somebody who then the prince got a hold of and embraced and turned into a vampire. So he starts to learn more and more that they're out there. And then when the feuds start coming up with the Bruja, the prince starts talking with the police detective to try to help keep a lid on things. Because clearly one would think, well, the police can do stuff during the day that the vampires can't. Because that makes sense, right? Except all over this show, the vampires are out, you know, driving around in the sun and everything else.
Which, thank you. You know, that was a question. Like,
But it was more about the prince, Julian Luna, who was struggling between keeping control of his empire and his princedom, and keeping the clans united while tamping down insurrection. There was some of the political stuff in it because, I mean, that's what kind of the game was also based around, too.
Of
there
course.
Was a lot of political machinations and backroom dealings and stuff like that. But mostly it was interesting. I mean, there were some parts that were, hey, this, you know, that's actually kind of cool. But there was just a lot of it where even people who've never played Vampire the Masquerade, but no quote-unquote vampire lore, are going to be like, why are they driving around in a BMW at 2 o'clock in the afternoon? And, like, nobody's getting turned into ash or smoking or you know, exploding into flames.
So there was a moment, and I have in my notes there in this episode, this is the end episode, which feels very much like they thought they had more episodes. Him, Julian, and his wannabe, possibly ish girlfriend are heading off to go to a vineyard or something that his grandfather supposedly owned. Given it's vampires, you can probably already assume it wasn't his grandfather, it was him.
Yes.
But the scene of them driving in the car, she says, wow, I never thought I'd get to drive this. And my brain immediately, because I'm vamp smart, thought, oh, it must be because the car's like bulletproof with tinted windows and it's like invisible to radar and it's
nope.
No, It's just because it's a Beamer.
Just because it's an expensive Beamer.
Just, yeah, or Royce or something. Yeah, I was wondering whether it was bad editing that they were driving during daytime or whether it was because vamps could be out at light. And then later, fucking people were out in the light. So I was like, all right.
Yeah. So he's getting stressed over the whole thing that's going on with the uprising. Eddie, who's played by Brian Thompson, got killed in a previous episode. He was the Bruja Primogen. He was like the head of the Bruja clan. So now there's fights breaking out all over. Who's going to be the next Primogen? They're trying to take down Julian because Julian did some bad shit to the clan in his past. So he's like, I got to get away. Actually, Caitlin, who is this human reporter who has fallen in love with him because she thinks April he's Lonnie. Also just a human mafia boss businessman kind of thing. So he leaves Archon Rain, who's played by Patrick Bauchau, who, if you've seen Carnival, you will know him as Professor Lodes.
Right, and just real quick, the girlfriend played by Kelly Rutherford, who, if you remember from anything, you'd remember her from Briscoe County.
Yes. So she takes him out to this vineyard, which is like the familial vineyard of his. And as the car is pulling in, it goes right past this, like, the vineyard. It's a vineyard with its own cemetery. Right past this huge fucking gravestone that says, Julian Luna, born, died. And you're just like, oh my God, what happens when she sees that? No big deal. Oh, that was my great-great-grandfather. And then he starts talking about gravestones. Oh yeah, this guy. Yeah, he dug in this mine for like 35 years, never found anything until this 10-pound gold nugget fell on his head and killed him. You talk about him like you knew him. Nah, Grandpa just told me stories about him. Oh, okay.
I'm a reporter.
Yeah, exactly. So the Bruja end up meeting him there at this place out in Manzanita Springs. So they're the Manzanita Bruja, which I thought was just the funniest name ever.
Pretty funny.
They attack Julian and they wound him greatly. And as Julian is about to retaliate, the one Bruja turns into a wolf and runs off right in front of the reporter. Mm-hmm. And then Julian turns into a wolf and runs off right in front of the reporter. And you hear snarling and gnashing of teeth and nasty fangs off in the woods. And then Julian kind of staggers and limps back all covered in blood. And she's like, "What? I don't understand what's going on.
I'm a reporter."
Yeah, exactly. And then he's explaining to her backstory because she made this comment to him previously that, you know, I'm falling in love with you and I feel like I don't even know you. Ding, 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 ding.
Right.
He's talking about Archon Rain. He's basically breaking every rule of the masquerade, which is the whole vampire law that's supposed to keep them secret so that humans don't know they exist. Talking about embracing other humans to make them vampires, talking about feeding on blood, and in his younger days, he was an enforcer for Archon Rain, and she goes, enforcer? Like, that's the word you don't fucking understand? I know what a fucking enforcer is. It, like, really? All that other stuff, and that's the one that has you befuddled?
To which she, to save him, she lets him feed,
and we're completely bypassing the fact that one of the other Bruja breaks in, holds her at knife point like a hostage, and Bruja, biker dudes, big, burly, fisticuff, beatdown, bar brawl, pipes and chains guys, she gives him the old, elbow to the gut and, like, doubles him over.
Right.
So she can get out of the way and Julian can attack this dude.
They took they sent the guy who had one dot in stamina.
Yeah, exactly. So they get rid of him. Julian is starting to die. Now she gets it. She finds this big, huge, fucking Crocodile Dundee knife in this cabin.
It's not a knife.
Cuts her wrist open and lets him feed. And then, you know, she comes to and she's like, "Oh my God!"
Hold on. There's a bit there. There's a spit to mention here. Because he's explaining this to her and he says, and he explains, I've broken the rules now, so I'm going to have to either, embrace you, kill you, or, they're going to make you forget. And I'm not going to let that happen.
Well, yeah, it only ends in two ways. They embrace you or they kill you. And I'm not going to let either one of those happen. So, and he's like, I have to make you forget.
Right.
What do you mean make me forget? He goes, but I don't know if I can. And I literally screamed at my computer screen, domination, level 3, forgetful mind. Yes, you can. What are you talking about? I don't know if I can. Grab your fucking D10s, dude. Seriously? Yep.
And then she wakes up. She's like, oh, what happened? He goes, you were sick all weekend. I don't remember any of that. Yeah, you were pretty bad. Okay. Like, come on. I have never, now I admittedly have never been blackout drunk. I admittedly have never had a huge moment where I have a big swath of blank time. But she literally goes, I don't feel sick. Look, if you blacked out for 48 hours, you might remember you had the sniffles.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm a reporter.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yet she remembers things because...
Oh, yeah. She ends up having, like, nightmares or whatever.
She dreamed them. Oh, that was just a dream. It was just one of your dreams. And what was her comment? Was it mine?
Yes.
Okay.
And then she asked, I don't remember what she asked specifically about one of the vampy words. She
was, oh, yeah, and Archon. I remember that name. I heard it in my dream.
Right.
No, you didn't.
Womp.
Seriously? They should have gotten a season 2. Titus Welliver, who you may well know as the Man in Black from Lost.
Ah,
he's playing the Bruja named Cameron, who's supposed to be trying to take over the clan and basically eliminate Julian and become prince. And that was another thing. He's like, you sent me among them to learn their styles and their abilities, so we can take the kingdom back and I can become prince. And he's like, yeah, but you haven't done anything. And he goes, you don't just become prince by taking it. You have to earn their respect. And I'm like, no, that's literally how you become prince. You go in there, right, and you fucking take it. You kill the prince, and that's when you say, hey, look, you're going to fucking listen to me because I just killed the prince and I'll kill you too. That's literally how it happens.
And then there's two options. Either they go, all right, yes, sir. Or
somebody else goes, point of order. I would like to kick your ass for the princedom, please. So the reason they didn't get a season 2 or the show didn't continue is because after episode 8 finished, the actor who plays Julian Luna, Mark Frankel, actually died in a motorcycle accident.
Oh my God, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, and so that was why they were actually... Now here's the funny thing too, if I remember this story correctly, he has a twin brother. So they were considering hiring the twin to continue on for season 2 and play the character that his deceased brother used to play. And I don't think they got very far in the talks where a bunch of other people just kind of said, that sounds just like an uncomfortably bad idea to pose to somebody. Like, one guy came up with it, and they were like, that's kind of interesting and terrible. Like, why would you even say that? Are you kidding?
That's a thought experiment, not so much an actual one.
About 5 years later, I want to say, right around the beginning of the 2000s, maybe 2003, Showtime had actually considered buying the rights to this and redoing it with a more modern twist, but that fell through as well.
Well, from the perspective of vampiness, this is within a year or two, probably a year or two after Interview with a Vampire. I'm guessing Interview with a Vampire, another one of those things that, you know, needed to happen for a show like this to come up and be a smart idea. 1 year later, literally 1 year later, the definitive vampire TV show comes on the air in Buffy.
Yeah. I don't know that
well,
it
just saying
was...
this missed lightning by a breath.
Yeah, but so I'm not a Buffy guy.
Right.
It's not that I have anything against it. I've seen like three seasons. They were loaned to me on DVD. I watched the first season and I watched a couple of the other ones. It was okay. It wasn't my cup of tea. So right. I didn't continue on with it.
I'm not going to make the argument that it gets better as it goes. If you like,
it's completely different show, because whereas Kindred is Dracula mixed with Melrose Place, mm-hmm. Buffy is Dracula mixed with Saved by the Bell. It was a different audience it was targeted towards, and I think that hit home a lot better, because it also kind of, it embraced its campiness first and then kind of became serious. And the serious to the camp is what made it really cool. Whereas Kindred went into it going, no, we're going to be very serious. And that made a lot of the seriousness kind of campy, because they didn't realize how much fun they were poking at the source material by doing it wrong.
You're 100. There's nothing there I can argue with at all.
Okay.
My point is that there is if this show had continued on, like, if you can look at this first season and go, look, everybody's first season's a little derpy while you figure it out, I could legitimately see this show having built into something pretty fun. It does feel very much like the show should have been in syndication, not on a major network. Like, it has an aura of Highlander around it.
Right.
But again, this is still early 90s Fox. They were throwing everything at the wall to try it, and they had a couple major hits on their hands with, you know, Married with Children, X-Files, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't look at it, because again, having not heard of it, or having not seen it, but having heard of it forever, I can see why you, friends of mine who are very into Vampire, see this show as like the lost opportunity for getting it out there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, another big horror show that came out around that time too, American Gothic came out in 95, and this came out in 96.
I don't remember American Gothic.
So, there was a lot of trying to go down that route and be that kind of edgy, creepy, kind of show, like more, mm-hmm. not really X-Files-ish, but more horror side of it, if that makes any sense, than not just 100%. The unexplained kind of stuff. But American Gothic was Gary Cole, Lucas Black, Paige Turco, Sarah Paulson was in it. And they had, was it just one season? Yeah, they just did one season. Well, maybe they did three seasons. Because I'm showing 95, 96, and 98. So it did three seasons. But it was all trying to pull into that same kind of, that target audience, to keep them watching those kind of shows.
Mm-hmm. Let's also, so nowadays, this is sort of the kind of coolness of what's going on right now. White Wolf, for those who don't know, the company that put together the entire World of Darkness, Vampire, Werewolf, those games. They have gone through the last, let me see, what year did they get bought? 2015, so only 4 years ago.
White Wolf got bought by?
Paradox Interactive.
Okay.
And CCP, it's the company that owns EVE Online.
Gotcha.
So they made a bunch of bad bonehead decisions. Not going to go into it, you can go look up online, they've made a bunch of bad business. It's only been in the last 2-3 years where they've started to claw their way, no pun intended, back up. They already have a new video game coming out. If it does, we'll see.
Are you talking about Bloodlines 2?
Yep. But that game has been sort of vaporware for 10 years. So
yeah, but
I think it's
the closest we've gotten, because they're actually showing like footage and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's funny because they're like, hey, look, here's some early development gameplay footage. And then right across the bottom of the screen, it says not actual gameplay footage.
Of course. I mean, cause this is also the same company, but this is before Paradox. I want to say in the 2010 area, they would put out really gorgeous, well thought out trailers for Vampire the MMO, and that never happened. So right. It's, you know, we hurt me once, shame on me. I would say better time now than ever.
Yeah, no, I agree.
They're starting to crawl back. That may be a show of this nature, not this show, but a show of this nature has a chance. I would, especially in a world of Game of Thrones, you know, Game of Thrones type narratives. People love deep political bullshit.
You know why I think you're right, where it would really have a good chance, maybe within like now to maybe say the next 4 to 5 years? Because it would tap into, if it's done right, it would tap into that Game of Thrones kind of audience, especially if you kind of start at the beginning and don't make people automatically assume that they know the understanding of clans and Camarilla and all this other stuff. Like, you really would have to kind of get into that in the first couple episodes and explain that to bring people along.
Yes.
Much like Game of Thrones, you have to start at the beginning. You can't just jump into Game of Thrones, like, you know, season 4 and or episode 4 even, and just be like, hey, let me just watch an episode and see if I like it, because you're just not going to fucking get anything.
Yeah.
But also because it's not superhero stuff.
Yeah.
And it's not that I hate superhero stuff. I love it, but how many DC shows are there? There were a ton of Marvel shows on Netflix. Disney's doing a whole bunch of shows on Disney Plus that's going to be coming out. All the movies that are out. It's not that. So it may actually have a chance for those people who want to get into that kind of horror fantasy, because there's too many, you know, people in tights and capes running around.
And it's got one other thing that Hollywood loves right now. A lot of source.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this isn't just a vampire game, a show. You can also have a werewolf show. You could have, you probably wouldn't do mage, but point stands. You could have a mummy show. You could have a Frankenstein show. Like, there's so much material in the world of darkness. I mean, you could have an entire show about Pentex, which is the evil corporation, or whatever.
I mean, you could do mage.
Just clan
shows. You could do mage. You could even dabble kind of into Wraith because of the way certain mage groups and certain vampire groups interact with spirits and stuff like that. Changeling would be awesome too. There's so much bleed over that if something struck, they really could kind of go crazy with it if they wanted to. But it has to be done right. It absolutely has to be done right. It can't be camp. You couldn't do a Buffy-esque vampire, werewolf, mage, changeling kind of universe TV show. It literally would have to be like Game of Thrones-esque. It has to be that level of political intrigue and gore and gritty and just, we don't care if you're going to hide your face behind your hands. This is what we're filming.
I would say that you could get away with putting a little bit, not a lot, a little bit of camp in it, in the same way like the True Blood would give you commercials for vampire in-world products. Like, not that specifically, but just sort of a nod to the fact that there is some humor to be found.
Well, the
but
camp would come from the Malkavians.
Well, almost guaranteed.
Yeah, I mean, you have Game of Thrones, and then you have Murdoch from the A-Team, as you know, in one of the houses, and that's where that would come from, basically.
But I would say that if anybody from Paradox Entertainment and Interactive is listening, you know, we can be hired cheap.
Oh, absolutely. My God.
Yeah.
Are you paying your cheapest employee? We'll take half.
Yeah, I was going to say half it. You multiply that by a whole line of zeros. So what about you guys out there? Have you seen Kindred the Embraced? Do you have any other favorite haunty TV shows that maybe we should touch on in the future? Where can they find all of that information to tell us?
They can find us. All of our widgets and doodads and buttons and doohickeys are at somethingcast.com. Gets you to our email, gets you to our Twitter, gets you to our Facebook. You can also go to shop.somethingcast.com if you want to pick up some cool swag, help support the show. You can also check out our Patreon at patreon.com/somethingsomethingcast. We are revamping it. We are working on some new stuff, so...
Baby steps.
If you are joining now, it will be changing in the somewhat near future, hopefully bigger and better. If you are interested in checking out this show we are discussing, good luck. Because it's not streaming anywhere. I found Haddon sent me a link to this specific episode, excuse me, on YouTube, and the name was like 37 words long and in Spanish. So yeah.
You might be able to find other episodes on YouTube, but you will probably have to hunt about a bit.
Yeah, like it's not even on like Amazon Prime at like, you know, 99 cents an episode kind of thing. It's just... it's not there. They did have... it was released on DVD a couple different times, but that was all like back in like 2000, 2004 kind of thing. But yeah.
Brilliant. Well, with that, we hope you guys have enjoyed Haunt Month here at Something Land.
It's not over. We still have a free-for-all next week. It is that's 5-week.
Right. We do.
Yep.
Brilliant. Well, then we'll see you next week on Halloween. Or close enough to it that I can say that.
Yeah, absolutely. Till then, I'm Podcast Rob.
I'm James Hatton. Bye.
Later.